Welcome to the Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast, a space for people with open hearts and minds who are on a journey of expanding consciousness. My name is Marta, and I will be sharing with you my conscious healing journey. Additionally, with my best friend Anna, we'll be exploring the great conscious transformation happening in the world. Join us on an adventure of learning the new ways of being and building bridges across the many concepts that truly need connection as we are building a better world for all beings. And let's learn together how to embrace our humanity with all of its ups and downs so that we can have as good life as possible. Dear listeners, welcome to the very first episode of a brand new podcast, Weaving Web of Consciousness. My name is Marta.
And my name is Anna.
And we are very excited to try yet again to record the very first episode. We try to take it with a little bit of grain of salt. We do know that the first episodes are usually the ones that are least listened to. So it's not that we are trying to make it perfect, but we are trying to make it listenable.
Listenable. Is that even a word, Marta? Is that even a word?
That's a very good question, which I don't know the answers to. However, welcome, dear listeners. We have no idea what brought you here. Probably one of us making you listen to it.
Yeah.
That's a very good chance.
Those are the pre-fame. This is a pre-fame phase, Marta. So, yeah. Probably three people are tuning in right now. But that's okay. That's all right.
But maybe you are like the future listener and you have already discovered us when we have become rich and famous.
Yes.
Which is not
one of those.
Which is not even something that we actually want.
No, that's not even the purpose of this podcast, which is. But it would be nice if people joined us on this journey and listened to us and even interact with us by leaving comments, asking questions. But it's not priority to become rich and famous. The priority is to reach out to people that might find it useful. Is that better?
That's very well said. So, Marta and Anna, that's us. That's your humble and
Thank
slightly
you for
crazy hosts. Yes.
Yeah.
It's, believe it or not, and I know it's going to be hard to believe, but this is not our first podcast. It is not even our second podcast. It's not, even,
not even
our third.
The third. Yeah, precisely. Oh, my God. This is our fourth podcast.
Yeah.
And still we are not rich or famous.
And we are not, but we are persistent. We are not giving up. And
we
our very first podcast, we were doing it for almost 3 years. And it was very quickly picked up as a radio show. So we are used to being able to be imperfect with our microphones and each other. So this is how it's gonna be. We are inviting you on an exploration journey. Two best friends, not very successful in their podcasting efforts, however, very persistent and having a lot of fun. I think that's why we continue, right? Because it's actually
why.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we lately launched our third podcast, which is called Women Circle Institute Podcast. And we got a comment from our friend who said, well, finally you grow up. I didn't know how to read that comment. Like, did we become more serious or wiser or mature? But there is some progress, unless it's a digress. What do you think?
Do you think it could mean that we are less fun and we are more mature?
Oh my God, I hope not. Otherwise, that's very alarming to me. Well, we are usually talking about serious topics, but we try to make it entertaining in the same time. So if we lost that, then Maybe I should ask her what she meant. I was actually afraid to ask her what she meant. So I left it at that. I hope it's just about the maturity of approaching the topics.
Yeah. So anyhow, coming back to this specific podcast that we are presenting to you for the very first time today.
So also known as podcast number 4.
Also known as podcast number 4. With this podcast, Weaving Web of Consciousness, we are inviting you on a journey of exploring and expanding consciousness. So we are two friends who used to have a podcast and had a lot of fun with it and really, really exploring many different topics and continuously growing and learning and having a lot of fun. What killed our podcast? Well, kind of was Corona. Yes. That killed
Corona
our podcast.
Killed our podcast. Precisely.
Yeah, it was the whole pandemics, and suddenly the world became so divisive, and suddenly it became so difficult to have these honest, authentic, non-divisive conversations, and we really didn't know how to go about it. And now we are ready. So we would like to take you on this journey with us, where we are exploring today's world and how we believe it's not thriving, it's not working so well, and how we are exploring different topics, what could actually bring back the humanity and the planet Earth back to thriving. That's pretty much it. And in this podcast, we will be exploring topics like, you know, we are living in times of big uncertainty. We can see that what used to work, our institutions and governments, they are kind of not working that well anymore. So how to live in those times when the old is not working that great, and when we've been as humans on the journey of wars for so many centuries, and we really, really know that it does not serve us, and most of regular human beings don't want to be a part of a war in any way, and how we would like to have peace. And how we would like to be kind to each other, and how we would like to finally evolve over that, you know, you have a different opinion, I'm gonna kill ya, mentality.
And oh my goodness. Kill ya with a gangsta vibe, yeah. Yeah, but that's true, Marta. Everything you are saying, it's absolutely correct. I just wanted to add to what killed our podcast. Our podcast was also on a radio, and if you haven't noticed, then I would like to inform you that the wide range of topics that was allowed to discuss before 2020 shrinked significantly due to something that is called a censorship. So there were some topics when I don't think we thought we would be censored, but it was like, is it okay to say it? Is it allowed? Will that take us off air? So we decided to, you know, go off air ourselves. I think it was we were speechless. We simply didn't even know in what direction can we take the conversations we were having so naturally before 2020. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Anna. That's very, very correct. So here we are starting again. We have our Women's Circle Institute podcast, where we are exploring the topics of women's circles and the Institute. And here we want to explore the topics of how to build bridges between the feminine and the masculine way of being, how to build bridges between the southern and northern hemisphere, how to build bridges between the old and the new. And we would like to talk to each other and hopefully to you, our dear listeners, also about conscious organizations, conscious relationships, families, friendships. We will be bringing topics of healing, and we will also be addressing the difficulties that we face in our everyday life in overcoming or integrating the fear, the grief, the burnout, and how to actually live in this world. And don't think that everything is going down to a shithole. Sorry for swearing, but it's gonna be R-rated. We do not want to promote that kind of approach and that kind of spirit, if you can call it a spirit, when it's going down the drain. However, yes,
could
we
be
would
a demon.
Like. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. We want to talk about those difficult topics. We want to be able to acknowledge it's not easy, and we want to preserve the hope, and we want to look for new ways of being and solutions that can actually serve us all, so that it's not one solution that will serve one specific group of people and be damaging to another, but we believe that we can find solutions that will be good for all. Mm-hmm. How successful you will be with finding those solutions and expanding them, let's see.
Yeah, but let's find out.
Yeah.
Very easy, breezy, lemon squeezy topics, as you can see, only super simple problems. That's number one. Yeah, it sounds deep, but I think it's not meant to be overwhelming in a way. We want to treat it lightly. And just to make sure, this is not a podcast for a construction workers or DIY people who want to build actual bridges that we don't know how to do. We are talking about mental, emotional, spiritual bridges, conscious bridges. Maybe that's the good, because you used like three times bridges. I was like, someone might get this wrong. So just to make sure that you know, you will not learn how to build a bridge here. At least not in a traditional sense.
I literally had to mute myself because I was laughing so much. It would be so funny if it was.
I think in a first episode, we really need to explain that one. Unless, surprise, episode 66, we are building a bridge, actually. Then I will take my words. I will take my words. But I think in a short, I will say, if you are a person living in 2024, and you are thinking, what the hell is going on with this world? Where the hell are we going? How crazy everything is? And how am I supposed to find myself, my space, my mental well-being in this chaos, and to create a peaceful field for myself, my family, and my community? This is the place where we are going to explore that. So that's probably a very short construction worker type of a summary of every single beautiful thing that Marta just mentioned. So actually, it is also for construction workers, I guess.
Yeah, sure. In my other life, that is not part of Women's Circle Institute and this podcast, I actually do work in construction. So perhaps this
there
is...
You go.
There yeah, you go. This is it's construction of wind turbines, which I guess are the some way more conscious types of energy than oil and gas. Perhaps at least have that kind of vibe to them. We might at some point discuss that as well.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah, I also not? Worked in construction in wind turbine industry. Coincidence? I don't think so. Yeah, so now those were the days.
And that's very interesting to mention, because we do work for companies that are competitors. And mm-hmm. that, I believe, is a really, really great topic to explore as part of conscious organizations, and how companies even working in the same industry, organizations going after the same solutions, etc., how they can collaborate more rather than compete, and you know, the success is by the failure of the mm-hmm. other one. How yeah. can we be successful and also empowering others in the same industry to be successful? I think this is a very, very good bridge of consciousness.
Someone is working in construction, I bridge. Yeah. Very good, Marta. Very good. Yeah. So, I think, there is actually just so many topics we will cover here. Do you think we made it easy for people to understand?
If anyone will listen to it, I will be surprised and grateful. But it is very often the first episode. Yeah, it is very often the first episode that is least listened. So we hope for the future it will be easier. So what to expect from this podcast? First of all, as you can hear, you can expect very honest, authentic conversations. I hope no one has doubt about that. And we are two best friends who are continuously working on opening our minds and our hearts. So this is definitely, if you are a person who continuously have that conscious awareness of keeping to have your mind and your heart open, this is definitely going to be for you. We are continuously looking for ways to overcome fear, doubt, uncertainty, hopelessness, helplessness, constant negative media messaging. And we also want to, apart from like how to overcome that, to also how to activate yourself, how to take responsibility for your life and to be able to live a good life in these times. And yeah, contributing to building better communities. And we want to learn together how energy and consciousness work. We want to explore the feminine and masculine energies. And yes, building bridges that I have already mentioned several times. So also building bridges.
But just in case people forgot, we want to build bridges.
But you know, it's because I'm looking at my notes. It says building bridges across northern and southern hemispheres. So that's gonna
Marta,
be.
Marta, this is a very ambitious project, my dear. But let's give it a go.
We might at need to ask our colleagues from the actual construction business to help us, to help us out because
with building bridges. Yeah.
Yes. So expect that as well as
expect the unexpected. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
as well,
I have to say that I like the way we are recording it right now, because I think that our first attempts, they were more mature, by the way. Greetings to Kasia, our friend, with that feedback. But they were kind of pompous, like we were giving lectures almost, and that's not really the point, because we don't even many times talk like this. So I'm happy that we're back, the crazy Mana
and Anta.
Marta and Anna are back. We will also invent some of the new English words, because obviously we are not native speakers. I know it's hard to guess because our accents are marvelous. However, we can also struggle with that. So now we might try to slowly close the stand-up part of this episode and or continue. And actually,
I had one more thing to add, the conscious communication and also healthy and sustainable ways of living. And I can tell you that laughter and humor are a very good way both to communicate, but also to be more healthy, right?
Yeah, I feel like I'm at the radio again when we got the laugh attack, and there was no way to cut it out because it was live. So conscious communication and great. We got it covered. So as you can see, this podcast is about absolutely everything. and you will just basically have to read the episode titles.
Okay, we are trying to collect ourselves after a very long spree, and we now have a word we cannot use in this podcast, at least for a while, and you can only guess which word that is. I think you'll have a pretty good idea. So now let's talk a little bit about what is actually consciousness.
And that's the title of this episode, right?
Yes, that is the title of this episode. Mm-hmm. So, what is consciousness? And that question, of course, is a very philosophical question, which many smart people have been trying to answer for a very long time. And in short, of course, it is you're conscious if you're aware of yourself and your surroundings. That's the most basic definition of consciousness. I really like Map of Consciousness by David Hawkins. Have you, Anna, ever met David Hawkins? Not in real life, but like his work?
Not recently. I don't know what happened to the guy. No, I think I recall the name, but refresh my memory.
Yeah, so David Hawkins is the guy that has created Map of Consciousness. Mm-hmm. And he talks about three paradigms. It's survival paradigm, reason and integrity, and spiritual paradigm. So Mr. Hawking has actually measured the vibration of the different emotions, feelings, and he talks about the lowest vibration is at the level of shame, guilt, apathy, grief. Then we are actually slightly higher vibe when we enter fear, desire, anger. And then the lower consciousness finishes with pride. So pride is under like a red line of consciousness. And this is where above pride, we are moving outside of survival paradigm and entering into reason and integrity. And that first positive vibe when it comes to consciousness, feeling-wise, is courage. Then it's neutrality, willingness, acceptance, and reason. And that's where we enter to the spiritual paradigm, where we can experience the higher vibration emotions of love, joy, peace. And the highest one is enlightenment. So,
Quite impressed with that, mister. Question, if you know the answer, did he manage to include in that paradigm of consciousness other beings than humans?
I'm not sure, no. I don't know the answer. We can explore that.
Yeah, because it would be really interesting to, for example, see how would you relate a dog consciousness to that, right? Because we tend to say animals have a low conscious level because, you know, they are fighting for survival or aggressive, blah, blah, blah. But then we also know that animals are capable of love, capable of joy, capable of recognizing, missing their owners, and so on, so on. So I think for the future, maybe I will just refresh my friendship with David. Is that David? Yes. I have to remember that better and try to investigate that because it's a very interesting model indeed. But that would also suggest that consciousness, it's not only innate to humans, but also to other entities, other beings here.
Absolutely. And anyone who has an animal can see how easy they fall in and out of lower consciousness, like fear, and how easy they fall into higher consciousness of joy. It's like pure joy, a bundle of joy or peace. The way a cat can sleep, for example, it's so much. So much joy and peace in that. So there are many different models of consciousness.
And why did you choose this one?
I think I read a book in the past where I really explored all these different feelings. And I remember that I really, really liked it. And I liked the idea that it was actually measured in energy, I think in hertz, like what frequency those emotions have. And I just recently saw it again. A friend posted it on LinkedIn. And I thought like, yeah, I remember that I really enjoyed reading about it. And I really enjoyed the part where it connects with physics, that it is something that is actually measurable and that we can move between the different parts of that consciousness. And I really like the part of a conversation about that different parts of ourselves or in different areas of our life or different parts of the day, we can be in different level of consciousness. So it's not like mm-hmm. if someone reaches once a moment of enlightenment, that it means that this now means that this person is enlightened, because that person will have parts of themselves and areas of their life where they may be very, very low in shame and guilt. So it's not exclusive. It doesn't mean that it's a consciousness that you are continuously increasing and that it is something that once you reach the higher levels, that's where you stay. I think us as humans, we have that wonderful ability to, constantly grow, but also hit
constantly
some...
fall.
Yeah, hit some lows here and there. Yeah. But I like this model because it also shows you the predominant emotional state. It shows you the view of life and it shows you the process that you are in. So, dear listeners, of course, it's difficult to explain something visual in words. So if you would like to know more about it, please check Mr. David Hawkins and his map of consciousness, and you will be able to see how this looks like. So, for example, anger, it's a low level of 150, and the predominant emotional state is hate. The view of life is antagonistic. The God view is vengeful, and the process is aggression. So that it has these several different paradigms. So I thought that it gives that kind of like a human view, you know, that consciousness is all of it, from the lower to the mid to the higher level, and that it is all encompassing, and we can be in different states of consciousness in different parts of our lives. What is consciousness to you, Anna?
Just before I answer, again, a question I did not prepare to, and that happened already on the first go. If you give me a link to that model, we can include it in the show notes. So then our listeners can just jump right away from the show notes of this episode to the model. That's number one. What is consciousness for me? You gave a definition that is very close to what I believe consciousness is, an ability of being aware of yourself, your body, and your surroundings. But I really like this model because it made me think. Now I realized that you can be a conscious being even if the only vibration you thrive on is fear. Because fear is caused by the fact that you are self-aware and aware of your environment, and you perceive it as dangerous to you or hostile. Without awareness, you cannot feel fear, you cannot feel anger, you cannot feel any of it. So now it's also, I find it quite inclusive, because we like to say that some people are conscious and some are unconscious. There is this kind of a divide in some circles. I would call it pseudo-spiritual circles, that some people are just unconscious, or everyone is conscious because everyone can actually feel or be on one of those vibrations, even if it's a low one. But I think also the cool thing is that if you are talking about this in a matter of vibrations that have different hertz frequencies, you can actually jump. And you can fall down, as we mentioned. But that means that as a human being, you have infinite possibility to move between the frequencies and manifest a different type of energy from yourself. And I find it great and fascinating because there's a hope for all of us. Wow. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, that's a very, very good observation. And when I was checking a little bit about that, about what is actually consciousness, and of course, you know, I reflect on what is consciousness, what does it mean to me? What is consciousness to me, and why am I so fascinated with consciousness? And I have in my time done a few years of education in something that is called conscious healing. So that means that I have been learning how to consciously heal different parts of myself. And the whole topic of we are the only healers, we are the only people who can heal ourselves, it's us. Of course, we can use different types of doctors and healers and therapists who can help us in it. But at the end of the day, they can only guide us. They can only facilitate some processes for us, even in terms of very physical healing. When a surgeon cuts you and then puts you together, it's still your body that needs to do the healing work afterwards. So even if someone very directly helps you with the part of the healing process, it is still your body that will be healing itself. And the same goes for consciousness, for any traumas, any wounds, any fears, any of the other lower level consciousness areas. Because let's face it, we don't like to be in them. There is not that many people. I cannot speak for the whole humanity. I have not met you all, guys, girls, okay, and people who, however you identify now. Recently, I just heard that saying guys is apparently not always a good thing. And that is another thing. Like, I want to be able to express myself respectfully, but I also want to be able to be myself. That's another topic we can take in one of the episodes.
And that's why podcasts these days are 10 minutes longer, because millennials like us always have to apologize for accidentally triggering, but yet they want to be authentic. It can be, back in a day, it was simple and people didn't took it personally. I think we understood what we meant. Now things became very literal. Like if you say something, someone attaches meaning to it and you lose control of the meaning you had. But totally for another episode, we will name it Millennials Doing Podcast Problems and How to Solve Them.
Yeah, and I think this is a very, very good time to mention that the language is not sufficient to describe those sort of topics. So in order for you to enjoy this podcast, and in order for you to like to be on that journey with us, please keep your mind and heart open, and please assume that we mean well, that we really, really mean well, that we are doing it from the kindest possible place, and we will be making mistakes. We will say something stupid, something wrong, something that could have been said better in many different ways. And we also want to be able to create that safe space where it's okay to make mistakes. It is okay to make mistakes as long as you can take responsibility for what you said or how you behaved, or you're open to having a dialogue on how it impacts the recipient of your message. We cannot take responsibility, of course, for the recipients. I think everyone has to take responsibility for themselves in terms of feelings, in terms of how we feel with a message. And we are really aware that words are not sufficient, especially that we are not even communicating in our native languages, right?
So yeah, we don't even have enough words, like, to begin with. Yeah. There is more. We only have a limited amount because of the reasons.
So please take that into consideration. Now coming back to what I actually wanted to say, and I am so proud of myself that I actually managed to keep that thread in my mind, which does not always happen. I was saying that I believe that most of us humans, and I don't know all the humans, but I believe that most of us do not enjoy being in those lower level feelings like shame and guilt and apathy and grief. It's so hard to be there. It's so very, very hard to be there. And as a part of conscious healing process, we, as part of our consciousness, in order to be able to be more frequently or for longer periods of time in the higher end of spectrum, we do need to have the capacity to consciously be with those parts of ourselves that are locked in these lower level vibrations, So that is a part of the process. However, we don't want to get stuck there. We don't want to stay there, stuck in those emotions. We don't want to live our lives from this level of consciousness. We don't want to make our decisions from that level. So this is something that we will definitely be exploring in this podcast. So, Anna, would you like to add something more? Of course, we will be exploring consciousness. This is weaving web of consciousness. So we will have a lot of episodes where we will be looking further into what consciousness is for us. However, is there something you would like to add now?
So for me, just to add, when you asked me the question before, what is consciousness for me? As I don't have maybe necessarily much of a problem with a definition, I have a challenge with imagining other things. For example, where does it come from? It's also an ageless question. You know, all brain studies are trying to prove it's coming from the brain, but I think they fall short on that. There is a lot of philosophical, spiritual, and very out of the left field theories. Where does the consciousness come from? So that's a very fascinating topic to me. Where does it actually come from? How do we become conscious? Where does the consciousness go when we die, when our body dies here? Most of people believe there is some form of an afterlife, or just another chapter in the journey of a soul or spirit, depending how spiritually inclined you are. But these are super fascinating topics for me. Where does it come from? Where does it go? And also, on the other side, who actually has it? Because I am quite interested in animism. And animism claims that every single thing on this planet has some sort of consciousness. And that would include not only animals, but also plants, trees, all kind of living beings, but also stones, crystals, you know, you name it. So that's also a fascinating topic, because that would rule out the brain as the source of consciousness. If a tree has a consciousness and tree doesn't have a brain, how does he or she, I don't know, probably both genders for the tree? In Polish, the tree is a guy, but that's because of the grammatic thing, so I'm not sure. But where did the tree get its consciousness from then? So who has it? Where did it came from? And where does it go? And is there a one big massive consciousness cloud that we all are coming from and then coming back to or connecting to? And are there any other consciousness rather than the human, or actually maybe this realm consciousness? Because that would imply other entities out of this realm. Yeah, I know. I like that kind of mind-bending topics with a bit of a sprinkle of paranormal on it. So those were my thoughts and probably ideas for four other episodes, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. That is absolutely what I would like to explore in this podcast. And immediately when you mention a tree, which in one of our previous attempts to record this first episode, we were talking a lot about whether you are considered to be more or less a crazy person if you believe that you can communicate with a tree. And I really like Mrs. Suzanne Simard, who is a world's leading forest ecologist, who has forever changed how trees are viewed. And she has a great book called Finding the Mother Tree, Discovering the Wisdom of the Forest. And she has done a lot of research, very, very scientific, very well documented research, to show how the consciousness of the forest works and how trees communicate with each other. And that, for me, that's already a fact, that it's possible to communicate with a tree or with the forest itself. And I think we all intuitively feel it. All the people go to the forest and for some unexpected reason, after a while, start feeling less and less stressed and feel more and more uplifted. So definitely a great topic for the future.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you are saying that, you know, for some people, this is a fact, as it is for me. I also looked at some research. But, you know, research aside, sometimes you can just feel it. But in a quote-unquote, the mainstream scientific world, that's considered some, maybe they would acknowledge processes between the trees, but they wouldn't go that far as saying that, you know, the tree can heal or whatsoever. But that's true. You will not find a lot of comfort walking in a concrete jungle, but when you enter a forest, you feel it. You feel it's alive. Actually, that aliveness, I also wonder how that connects to the consciousness. But there is you feel it's alive, and maybe there is some exchange of consciousness happening, you know, when you are in a forest, especially if you are nice to the forest. Because if you are cheeky bastard and you leave the trash and stuff, then I guess the forest can go on a lower level of consciousness, so be careful.
That's a very, and a tree can start running after you and punish you for being a bad forest citizen.
Listen, we all saw Lord of the Rings. Maybe some of us were half conscious watching it because it's a long movie. The trees are literally walking there. And yeah, you can argue this is a fiction, but think about that. In every culture, actually, if you will go to the countryside, almost in every kind of area of every country, you have certain natural habitats like forests or natural parks. When there is this one side, when people say be careful when you go there, there is a weird energy there, whatever that is. Some places are, for example, famous for people going missing or feeling eerie, especially if you are a hiker or if you are a ranger, which I am none of, but I've heard the stories. And the same in reverse, there are places that are having almost a healing properties. When you enter certain natural places, you automatically feel uplifted. And that's also interesting from where that energy is coming from. Maybe the quote-unquote negative energy forests are the ones where something horrible happened. Maybe the trees were cut out. Maybe there was something that humans did there, even to each other, and the energy of that event got imprinted on that. Or maybe someone was throwing trash in the wrong place and now the forest is angry. Three options. I don't know which one is true, but I think it's interesting to go there and to consider that there is a shared consciousness in a nature, in places, and you can interact with it, or actually it tries to interact with you in a way that your mood, your energy changes when you enter that specific place. And that's an interaction that is not, you know, language interaction, sometimes not even a visual, it's a feeling. And I find it fascinating that I said it.
Yes, that's definitely fascinating, and that's definitely still a lot to learn about it. And that is one of the qualities that we want to preserve in our podcast, this open-mindedness and being open and challenging ourselves in our beliefs. And what is a truth? What is a fact? What is a belief? And how even our truth, how even something we believe so strongly that it is true can expand and can grow. And this is exactly consciousness. So I wanted to take you on a little bit of an example of what sort of topics we will be exploring here and how we will be talking about it I can see, Anna, that yes, it's a podcast about everything.
Marta, are we going to build bridges?
Absolutely not. That is definitely not what we are gonna do here anymore. So you see how we have already explored that area and expanded to maybe we should build tunnels instead, because for some reason the bridges are very funny.
I will never look at this expression the same way again.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. So an example of how future episodes will look like. I wanted to talk a little bit about saying goodbye to the old paradigm and welcoming the new paradigm. And that, I think, will be a good test for if that podcast is for you. So the reason how we arrived at Weaving Web of Consciousness as a phrase itself and wanted to make a podcast out of it with each of us and together, so each of us separately and together, we noticed that we resonate a lot with explaining what's happening in the world in terms of being death doulas to the old paradigm and what no longer works, that many people, and we connect with many women around that, so many women feel like there is quite a lot of grief, there is quite a lot of heaviness, there is something old that has a very, very hard time living, even though we can feel it so strongly that it doesn't work for us anymore. And at the same time, we feel there is a new paradigm, new way of being that is being born. It's not yet very clear what it is exactly. We see the sprinkles of it and the signs of it here and there. And we can feel these two ways at the same time. This being of being the death doula for what needs to go away and the birth doula for what is trying to come through. So that's probably something that will help you see if this podcast is for you. If you will hear this and you will be like, oh my God, what a bullshit. That makes no sense. That's probably not going to be a podcast for you. If it rings a bell, if it rings truth or even sparks your curiosity, what it is that they mean, it might be that this podcast is for you. So we have noticed that that the old way of being, and to give any words to it, we see it as a patriarchal way of being. We see it as a world that has been built by men for men. It's very much overgrowth of the masculine energy. So if you imagine a bird of humanity, for a very long time, we have been, the world has been flown by one of the wings, the masculine wing. And Lynn Twist is very, very good at explaining the bird of humanity. It is from her that I've learned about that concept. So we will link to Lynn's video in the show notes. But imagine that there is a bird that for a very, very long time has been flying very, very hard and overcompensating for the other bird, the more feminine, the more nurturing bird or the energy. So it had to do a lot of work to overcompensate for the lacking part. We need both. We need the feminine energy and we need the masculine energy. Yet the way we function as societies has been built very, very much with only one of the wings. The more masculine wing, the very industrial, very driven, very productive, which has, as you can hear, a good quality of it. It is a good quality to be able to produce something, to be productive, to progress, to move forward. And it has this energy that simply gets us too tired if we don't nurture ourselves, if we don't support ourselves, and we constantly are trying to be more and more productive. We hit that place where like, hell, I'm not a machine. I cannot be more and more productive. There is something missing. I'm starting to feel empty. I'm starting to feel burnt out. So it is to say that the humanity needs both of those wings to thrive and to function well. So that is something that really resonates with both of us. So how can we in those times help to balance? How can we help the feminine wing grow stronger? And at the same time, allow for the masculine wing to heal on its end of overproduction, of overcompensating. And I'm gonna now shut up and pass the word over to Anna.
Wow. Well, I agree with everything you say. I will just maybe make a useful distinction. It is going to be mainly useful for me. I think when we talk about the patriarchy, I like to focus more on the energy rather than men themselves, because masculine energy, and I am a kind of an astrology enthusiast. So exactly what you said, Marta, in astrology, there are, you know, masculine signs and feminine signs. And, you know, I am a masculine sign. So that means I could have some sort of a masculine energy advantage in my personality. And as you said, it is the active one, it is the conqueror, it is the brave one, the one that is going to get it. But it, of course, comes with straining yourselves to the limits of not being able to function, not having any time for emotions, for reflection, for nurturing. It is also quite competitive. And yeah, I think the world was built mainly for men, for some reason, by men, but for people who exhibit the masculine energy, the ones that feel comfortable with it. Because I know also a lot of women who have a hell of a lot of masculine energy, and they work like this and they operate like this. And again, there is place for everything, but you probably all know yin and yang. There is a reason why those energies are supposed to be in balance. This is the feminine and masculine. They are supposed to be balanced so we can actually progress in a healthy way. And if one is out of balance, we end up with a world that, as Marta said, it's full of competition. It's full of, you know, it's that kind of a utopian dream of a constant progress. I have a feeling that feminine energy understands more the cyclic way of living. You know, it's more tuned. It is said women are more tuned to the lunar cycle, for example, because they also have their menstruational cycle. I forgot the word menstruation cycle. Many times aligning with the lunar cycle, so we go through all the phases in 1 month. Men don't have that problem. So even on a way of understanding what it means to sometimes be very hype and active and full of energy, and then in 10 days to be really worn off and needing to rest and needing space, we women are more naturally equipped to understand that things in this world are cyclical. And because men don't have this gift, blessing and curse in the same time, I think for men it's way more easier, or for the masculine way of being, way more easier to even delude yourself into believing that it's always the way up. It's always the progress, you know, it's always gonna get better. And it should always be the same way. That's why you always have the same productivity measures and effectiveness. And there is no space for rest, reflection, or anything of this kind. And that has severe consequences, especially for the Western part of this world, although I believe everywhere else. So that was just my 5 cents, 50 cents, £1. Stop talking about money. My 2 coins to the discussion.
Thank you, Anna. And I would really like you, dear listener, to know that that's exactly, you know, if I have only talked about the world has been built by men for men, and especially when I refer here to institutions and organizations, especially corporations, it could sound like I am judgmental of men, or that I am blaming men in some way. And that's exactly a great example to stay open-hearted and open-minded and assume that this is the limit limitation of the language, because I am by no means in any way going into the energy of blaming. And I am in no way saying that we should now be led by women for women. You know, it really is about looking at what works, and that is the healthy expression of the masculine energy. What doesn't work, and it's the unhealthy expression or toxic expression of masculine energy, and that feminine energy also has its healthy and unhealthy expression. And we as humans have all four, meaning the healthy and unhealthy, feminine and masculine expressions in ourselves. And consciousness is about being aware of it. So expanding consciousness means expanding our awareness about the healthy and unhealthy expressions of both masculine and feminine energies in ourselves. And that it really is about harmonizing. It really is about harmonizing and finding that balance between what serves us, what's healthy for us, and healing the unhealthy or toxic expressions continuously. And so the aspect that we wanted to bring in here is for us, there is no doubt that the old way of being, the constant productivity growth, and the way we use the resources, both in our planet Earth, the way we drill the planet Earth, the way we cut the trees, as well as the way we use the resources of ourselves, of humans, the way we even call humans resources in organizations, that it is no longer healthy. It no longer serves us, and it really, really needs healing, and it really needs new ways of being. And what we have noticed is that that old way of being, the toxic, the unhealthy expression of masculine energy, it's almost like fighting for it not to go away. And we were talking about it, why after years of where it looked like we are going in a better direction with it, suddenly we have the right wing politics winning over in certain parts of the world. Why suddenly there is more hate? Why suddenly in countries that used to look like embracing more and more equality, for example, between men and women, or allowing more and more diversity, giving more rights to humans of different sexual choices, etc. Why suddenly those things are taken away or moving backwards? Why suddenly in certain countries, just to give an example, the right to abortion is taken away from women, when we have spent so many years establishing that right for a woman to be able to decide about her body, about such an extremely difficult choice for a woman. Taking away that choice, suddenly men takes away that choice from women in certain countries or certain states. So we can see that this old paradigm is really fighting. And we have had that conversation, which really, really opened my heart and really, really opened my mind. So it's natural for us humans, and therefore for humanity, that when something is dying, we should pay a respect to it. That's a very, very ancient way of being. And that has always been on an individual level. So when a person is passing over, passing on, dying in this realm, there in many different cultures, in many different communities, it is done by paying respect. So every human makes mistakes. Some of us make very severe mistakes. Some of us do a lot of damage during our lives. And yet still, the healthy way is to work on forgiveness. And it is to embrace the whole human and pay some respect. So I will always be grateful for that conversation with you, Anna, where we have discovered that we are really, really, really unfair to the old paradigm very often. We are blaming the old paradigm. We are blaming the people. We are blaming the 50 plus year old men for the state of the world. And maybe it's a little bit unfair. Maybe we need to look a little bit with more compassionate, but also more fair and also more respectful and forgiving eyes and really look at it and say thank you for all the good things that this masculine way of living, this again, I'm saying, yes, we blame, many people blame older white men because they accumulate a lot of resources, they accumulate a lot of money compared to any other type of humans. That is something that you can easily check, that's a fact, and quite easily when data is accurate, what do we call it? Anna, help me here. That verifiable
statistics.
That, yeah, it's very verifiable statistical information about the richest 1 or 2 or 3% in any given country. But we don't want to blame men here. Again, we just want to talk about that there is something here that needs to be healed. And that is very, very important. And I would again like to very smoothly stop talking and pass the microphone to you, Anna, even though you have your own microphone and you are even in a different city. However, yes, I wanted this very smooth transition to come over to your side.
I barely even noticed. Wow. It was very gentle. Very gentle. It was a bit of a masculine energy there, my dear. I was thinking a lot about what you said, and I will confirm definitely that, as you said, as we talked, when someone is dying, and a good example is, you know, a bad father who was an alcoholic, didn't give much shit about his kids. Still, when he goes away, they do feel that the part of them, you know, is going to be missing. They show up at the funeral usually and they give him the last respect for him to go, because there was a part he did here that was necessary for them to actually appear in this world. Probably it was also very pleasant for him. So it's not like a sacrifice. But, you know, if you look at the more spiritual terms, you know, some claim we choose our own parents. So they are here to give us a lesson. What if we chose to be born in the old paradigm? Because we were supposed to learn something from there. And those questions, those kind of thoughts make me look at the old in a bit of a different light, because if there was no old, how would we know how to operate in the new? We still don't know, but it also shows us what is not working and what we should pay attention to. We also have a lot of things to thank for to the old, so I agree with that. Now we are here with these microphones and the marvels of technology like computers and mobiles and stuff. We can record this because of the technological progress. Otherwise, we would, I don't know what we would do, Marta. Try to get a megaphone and scream to random people on the street our thoughts? Well, that's not really a podcast. The fact that we can record this file, upload it somewhere and reach, hopefully, some people, although that's not technology's job, unless it's conscious. So please send it to people. Use the algorithm in the right way. But that's something to be grateful for, you know, because that's actually the outcome, the product of that old paradigm. We wouldn't be here in this shape or form if not that. What we see now in the world, I agree, there is I wouldn't necessarily go as far as trying to define who's wrong, who's right, because that's not the point. But we see so much of general chaos. It's almost like chaos on steroids. Like every month you open the news and you are like, what the hell this time? It's like, it literally almost makes no sense. And some things become extremely transparent. And for me personally, it's the fact that our political system is absolutely dysfunctional. And I'm trying to hold my French for you, dear people, but I don't trust any side, any party, any right, any left. At this point, for me, this is a dead division. And that is something that plays very well on dividing people and putting them into fear. Then, of course, we have the casual UFO disclosure and some meteors. And then we have announcements to prepare for war and wars, actual wars. Not to mention the looming pandemic number 68 coming in. So literally, you can open the news and you are like, what? We get desensitized a little bit, you know? We are getting used. That's the funny thing. We are getting used to this. Maybe that's not the worst thing because it also allows us to build that resilience. But I think, coming back to the actual thought, the reason why there is so much, so fast, so intense is because the old is fighting. And it will pull anything it can just to stay here for a little bit longer, because once we are divided and emotional, especially emotional in a negative way, we are feeding it. And it needs to be fed to live. So basically, I think the hostility of the times comes from the fact that someone desperately wants to live one more day, one more year, one more decade if possible. And it's almost like an entity that is trying to protect itself by using the tactics of staying relevant and energetically fed. So as Marta said, what about doing it other way? What about instead of, you know, shitting and bitching and blaming the old, let's look at it together and realize that, you know, it wasn't all that bad. Yeah, we see it in the bloom of dysfunction. It's very hard to miss it. But it wasn't that bad. And maybe when we will learn to live with the old and actually take responsibility for the fact that we were a part of the old, it will release itself from this realm a bit smoother without those constant bombardments of chaos and fear. What do you think, Marta?
Yeah, I think that this is like really, you know, the humanity catch 22. Where we constantly keep on falling into that same trap of making a villain, villainizing a specific group of people or even specific person. And we make a villain, we dehumanize that person, we blame a specific person or specific group of people. And how can we finally get out of that cycle? How can we finally get out, transcend that level of consciousness where this is your fault? You know, whatever the stereotypical now, a person with a lot of money, whoever they are, you know, this is your fault, or a specific politician or a specific dictator or whatever. If we keep on running in the same loops and always villainizing and dehumanizing, we are never going to change, because it's just finding yet another villain. And that's the same level of consciousness, unfortunately. So I think for us to be able to get out of it and really, truly have new ways of being, we got to be able to be compassionate. We got to be able to be grateful. We got to be able to be open and respectful and together move forward. So I would like to wrap up this very first quite long episode of this podcast. And I hope we gave you a good sense of this construction-based podcast that also goes quite pompous at moments and confusing at times and is about everything.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It's a little podcast about everything.
Yeah. So it's like theory of everything, right? Consciousness is so all-encompassing. So I guess it is about everything.
Yeah. I think we just hit our target market, Marta, and target audience. Well, as I said before, try to look at the episode titles to get a little bit of a better idea what are we going to talk next time. And I think we have a lot of interesting topics that are going to come. At least we came up with like at least 10 episodes as we were talking now. So that would be my advice. Look at the episode title, and if that rings your inner bell, press play, subscribe, follow us. And not in person, please, because that freaks me out. Follow us on internet.
Yeah, definitely better. Not in and purpose.
No, and not on social media. We actually, yeah, that's a good point. Practical one. We don't have social media yet. We don't know if we will have. So you can always visit womenscircleinstitute.com website, where this podcast has its home base, and find it there, or just subscribe. You are listening to it right now somehow, whatever that streaming platform is. You can subscribe or follow our podcast there.
Yes, and some of the future episodes will be done together by the two of us, and some of them will be done by me. I don't know if, Anna, you will have more space for doing some episodes on your own, because you have the fifth podcast. So,
well, that's what it is, the life of a rock star.
Yes, so Anna has a podcast flowing with the Sky Clock, and that one is also very, very recommendable. And yeah, so I just wanted to actually say that some of the episodes might be recorded by me alone, and most of them I hope to be recorded by the two of us. So thank you so much for living through this. If you made it all the way to this point, congratulations. It's really commendable.
We are sending you a virtual award of a podcast survivor. There you get it. It's there. We send it. Through our consciousness, we build the bridge so you can get it.
Yeah, thank you so much,
see what
Anna.
I did there?
Yeah, I do. Thank you so much, Anna. And dear
thank
listeners,
you,
we hope that you will listen to us again.
Yes, thank you very much. And we will talk to you soon.